you can host the best backyard barbecue. When you find a professional on Angie to make your backyard the best around. Connect with skilled professionals to get all your home projects done well. Inside to outside, repairs to renovations. Get started on the Angie app or visit Angie.com today. You can do this when you Angie that.
What's up, everybody? Welcome back to the Schmo Zone podcast. This is episode number 75. I'm Dave Schmolenson, aka the Schmo. My co-host is
Helen Yee with Helen Yee Sports.
And today's guest is a 15-year pro BMX rider. He's a gold medalist, X Games. He's a television host. Great personality. MTV. TJ Lavin. How are we doing, man?
I'm doing great. I'm happy to be here.
Yeah, we're happy to have you on. And I know you were just down in Mexico, right? Doing some filming.
Yes, we just filmed the second All-Stars, Challenge All-Stars show. And the flagship Challenge show premiered while we were there filming the All-Stars show. So it's pretty crazy because my schedule has been very, very hectic for the last year, exactly a year from right now. I went to Iceland and filmed a flagship show with a regular challenge show on MTV. And then I went to Argentina in February. February, March in Argentina, April, May, June, July in Croatia. And then now, just now, I got back from Mexico. So it's been hectic.
Wow. So normally when you're out there filming, are you there for a week or how long does it take?
I wish. I haven't been on a vacation for a week in my life, I don't think, since I was 14. But like every single trip I take is about anywhere from 5 or 6 weeks to 11 or 12 weeks.
Wow.
So they're long, long stints and it's pretty crazy. Like I live in the country and city wherever I'm at and I get to know the people and everything else. It's pretty damn cool.
Man, I thought it was exciting for us just coming back from Cleveland, but Your scene's pretty eventful over there. Iceland, Mexico.
Yeah, it's all right, man. I mean, Mexico is what it is. It's cool, but Iceland was incredible. I mean, it was magic there. I swear to God, I saw some unicorns.
Well, you've been working and doing the challenge for many years now. What's the evolution been like? Because now with social media and kind of, you know, YouTube and stuff being prominent, has anything, you know, evolved or changed at all with that aspect?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, it's definitely growing. And that's what's so crazy is that I've been a host of TV the same amount or a little longer than I was a pro BMX rider now. So that's so weird because I was a pro BMX dude for 15 years. And for 5 of those years, I was also a host. So then they overlapped, and then I became a host, TV host now for 15 and a half years. So it's real crazy because when I started this show, it was like pin the tail on the donkey type challenges, you know, real funny stuff. And now we're with, if we don't have helicopters and semi-trucks, it's just like, whatever. You know what I mean? We have full-on tanks and semi-trucks and high falls and sick stuff, so it's real fun.
I mean, you guys have to go that way because look on the YouTube game, people like the Nelk Boys, they're raising stakes. I feel like the Jackass world kind of influenced this next generation, and I feel like, I mean, we were just in Cleveland for this Jake Paul, Tyron Woodley fight, youngest crowd I've ever seen at a combat sports event, but it's like you ask these kids, hey, what do you want to be when you grow up? I want to be a YouTube star. I want to be a YouTuber. It's weird to see because when we grew up, it's MTV. Yeah. You know, it's all that stuff. Real world, Cribs, the challenge, but now it's like, I want to be a YouTuber, and these Nelk Boys and people like that are making movies on YouTube.
Yeah, it's insane. I mean, I'm very proud of all those YouTube guys because they just took something and made nothing. They took nothing and made it something, you know what I mean? It's real cool, man. It's like a favorite song, you know? They just built something out of nothing and just developed it, and I love it. I love that somebody's that innovative and somebody's that driven to do it, because you and I both know it's not easy. It's not something that you can just go and build a YouTube following. It's not easy. So they do it, and I'm very impressed.
Well, I know you're a big fan of MMA and also combat sports. So what's your take, because David said we just got back from Cleveland, on the Paul brothers, because now, like, he just boxed Tyron Woodley.
Yeah, I mean, he's definitely fighting older dudes and people that are a little bit long in the tooth, say. Like, let me see you fight a 25-year-old in their prime who's a boxer. Don't fight MMA dudes who are in different sports. And it's like a BMX, right? Like, if they have dirt jumpers, BMX, like vert riders and street riders. If you put a dirt jumper into a park contest, he's not going to even come close. I didn't even come close. Like, I was terrible, like, at vert. I did shows on vert, but they were very basic. But and then Dave Mira, who's the greatest vert rider of all time, came into a dirt contest, and I was laughing. You know what I mean? I smoked him, but he kills me in everything else. It's like in park or vert. And I'm like, it's something that you can't even compare. So that's how I see the Tyron Woodley fight. Like, Tyron would completely kill the kid in an MMA cage. And
same with Ben Askren.
Yeah, dude. And Ben Askren, I mean, come on. Ben is like an Olympic wrestler. Like, he don't even really give a care about boxing. He probably boxed for like 2 weeks to set up for this fight, you know what I mean? So, and he developed like his boxing and stuff like that good enough just to take somebody down and smash him. So to me, it's like a completely different sport, and you're calling out somebody from basketball, then you're calling out somebody from wrestling, then you're calling out somebody from MMA, and then you're calling out somebody from BMX. And no, I'm just kidding. But it's like, come on, man. Like, dude, if you're going to be a pro boxer, you want to be taken seriously, and which I think the kid can hit. Like, he can hit. He's definitely staying at range. He's good. He's doing his thing. But, and I'm happy for him with all the promotion and everything else, too. Like, he's smart. You know, he's a smart kid. He definitely turns it up, hires the right people, and makes it an event. So everybody's stoked on it. And that's what you have to do. I mean, he doesn't care. I think he does care deep down, like, if people like or dislike him. I think that's all an act.
That's important.
But I also think that he's smart and making a lot of money in the process. So good for him. Bravo. But don't try to say that you're going to be taken seriously, but you never fought a 25-year-old, anybody in their prime, you know, any top guys in their prime. You're calling out people that are done. And Tyron's badass, but he's like, he's long in the tooth. He's like the greatest ever in MMA. It's a completely different sport.
It is. And yeah, to your point earlier too, like a sport like tennis, like Rafael Nadal is a completely different tennis player on clay than he is in grass. And like Federer, I think, is a much better tennis player, was a better tennis player on grass than clay. And that's the same sport, just different surface.
Exactly.
But look, here's the thing though. So now he's 4-0, he's a professional boxer. But when you are in this sport, and boxing's a sport where you pick and choose your opponents, especially early on in your career, you could make an argument, though, just playing devil's advocate, he is facing tougher competition at this early on stage in his career in boxing than maybe some most typical boxers do fighting tomato cans and early on in their career. But to your point also as well, is I think the fight then to make, just what makes sense from a competitive standpoint, the guy who's fighting on his undercard, Tommy Fury, the brother of Tyson Fury.
100%. I mean, because he's a boxer, right? So he trains boxing. He's been in boxing for a while. He's a professional boxer. Like, Tyron is not a professional boxer. So to consider yourself a professional boxer, it'd be like me saying I'm a professional vert rider. I'm not. I'm a professional dirt jumper. Like, it's a completely different sport. Like, you can't even compare. It's not even, it's like if you were to take this microphone and start singing gospel and like, give it to me, man. You know what I mean? It's like, come on, man.
You would never want to hear
it. But then if you took a gospel singer and were like, all right, interview this MMA guy, interview John Jones and be funny. It's not going to happen, dude. Nah. So it's a completely different sport and a whole different avenue that people are taking. And then they're dressing this up and he's paying people through the ringer. I don't know what they're getting paid, but it's not public either. I'm sure it's inflated.
Well, it was reported today that Tyron got paid $2 million.
$2 million. But this is before the pay-per-view. I'm sure there's pay-per-view percentages. Yeah. Tyron and Jake made $2 million. And then I think the disparity was very different. Like, yeah. Amanda Serrano, she was the co-main event. She made 75K, and her opponent made, I believe, 40K. It wasn't too crazy, the numbers. No. Tommy Fury made 15K. Well, I don't know if I believe that, but I'm sure, because BT Sport had the rights for the pay-per-view in the UK, I'm sure he got the largest percentage out of that. I would assume. I would negotiate that if I was them. But also what I think an elephant in the room here that no one is really talking about much is these MMA fighters are taking the bait. I don't know if it's because they're not getting paid as much as they want. They see the clout, they see the fame or whatever. But every time Jake Paul says something that antagonizes one, everybody jumps. I want to fight this guy. I want to fight this guy. And to your point, we both know he's smart. He wants this attention. He wants people talking about them. And it doesn't matter because they're continuing to take the bait. And as long as they take the bait, the more he's going to continue doing it.
Yeah, and I mean, in the pay-per-view, I don't know what the pay-per-view numbers are, but I know that people are just paying to see him get his ass beat. Yeah. And it's like, it's perfect because he took the page out of Conor's book and all these stuff. He even makes Conor faces and yells and like at the weigh-ins and things like that. Like, he tries to juice up the crowd and stuff like that. And like, I respect the kid. I really do. I think it's cool. I mean, it is what it is, dude. Like, good on you, man. Just do your thing. But it's I don't know. I mean, $2 million is nothing to sneeze at. That's something that's a nice little pick-me-up, especially if you need the money. Like, why wouldn't you go in there? You're a combat athlete. Like, you could go in there and protect yourself. Like, he was never in danger, and he definitely wailed on the dude. Like, he could have knocked him out of into the third row if there was no ropes. So, you know, there is – if – he could have gotten it done, I think, you know, had he attacked more. But I feel like, one, he's like, okay, $2 million plus whatever, so maybe $3 million, say.
Plus sponsorships.
Plus sponsorships. Yeah. He maybe gets a sponsorship now out of the deal, whatever, and or show up money and all this other stuff, right? But then, so if you say that he's all in, he makes $3 million, so then the rematch. So now you make $6 million. And then if he wins, now you make 10. You know what I mean? So it's like, now you just made $10 million out of a fight of a dude that's pretty much an amateur boxer. You know, he's only fought one amateur fight, right? And then three pro fights before you. And now you're his fifth fight total of his life. And that's pretty damn safe.
On the note of the rematch, so that's kind of the big topic where Jake's like, I guess before they kind of agreed the loser has to tattoo the name of the winner. So what did he say? Jake said that maybe he'll entertain a rematch if Tyron gets the tattoo done, but he has to get it done quick, and Tyron is like kind of pushing for it too.
And they're making conditions on the tattoo bet and stuff like that. But I was there when there was a handshake. It was at the press conference in Los Angeles. There's got to be a tattoo no matter what, just based off of a gentleman's agreement, regardless if there's a rematch or not.
100%. If you're not, you know, he's going to pay him. Like, you have to. Like, you can't welter bet, dude. Like, there's nothing worse. Like, if you welter the bet, that's soft as a pillow. And you've got to, I mean, I don't have any tattoos. And if somebody said that tattoo bet to me, I'd just say no. Like, to just say no. I don't have any tattoos, and I'm not going to get my first tattoo in case hell freezes over and you knock me out. I'm not getting your name tattooed on me. No, it's too much. And I'll just say that. Like,
you made the bet.
You don't have to be like tough guy and be like, no, yeah, okay, cool, let's do it. You know what I mean? You don't bet. No, I'm just going to say no. No. It's not that hard.
Okay.
Just send me there, and I'll tell you. Like, no, he's not doing it. All right, he's not doing it. But now that he's made the bet, you're definitely doing it on your shin, loud and clear.
Oh,
who cares?
On the shin.
Yeah, whatever, dude. Like, I love Jake Paul.
In cursive, yeah.
Yeah, like, even if you want to have him sign it.
Yeah, he would do it.
Not a bad idea.
Yeah, sign it. So, you're a huge MMA fan.
Yes, very big.
I mean, I see a lot of these guys follow you. How did you get into the sport, and what got you to be addicted to it? What was that moment like?
Well, I loved it since I was in high school. So, like, since 1992 and 3. Like, I would buy the VHS tapes and watch them and watch Hoist and all the people. Like, oh, my God. Like, this is the most incredible thing in the world. This, you know, these guys are so small and so big and different in size and headbutts and, like, crazy things. And then it came to Vegas. and I watched it since it was in the ballroom at Bellagio. So we would go to the ballroom in Bellagio, and it would be like only flat seating, like barely any bleachers. And if there were bleachers, metal bleachers, I think maybe I can remember. And we would sit on these flat, like crazy chairs, and it was the most uncomfortable thing in the world. But I watched Chuck Liddell in the ballroom at Bellagio. And Tito was like there one day, and I went, we had Escalades. He had an Escalade and I did too, but I didn't know him. But then we both got out together, and I was like, oh my God, that's Tito Ortiz. And he had his championship belt on, and I was like, oh my God, he's wearing his belt. That's so weird. And then like he walked through the club, he's wearing it backwards. He walked through the casino with his belt on backwards, and I was like, this is so weird. Like, this is crazy. Like, it'd be like if I wore X Game medals around and stuff. And I was like, this is, I don't know. But I've seen it since. Like, he was kind of setting the trend. Like, other dudes wear it too sometimes. I'm like, oh my God, you're not really supposed to hold your pants up with that, dude. Like, that thing's a trophy.
Dude, he's fighting next week. Anderson, we're going to be there. Silva. He's boxing Anderson Silva at Staples Center September 11th. Is the co-main event to the Oscar De La Hoya Vitor Belfort boxing match.
Oh my God.
Triller.
Like,
Snoop
see,
Dogg.
That's another thing, man. Like you can't put Vitor in with a boxer. Like, even if the boxer's 65 years old, I don't care. It doesn't matter. Like, he boxes. He's a boxing dude. Like, don't say you're going to go ride BMX with me. Like, what are you doing, dude? Like, it's stupid. Like, you're not, it's a different sport.
See, I think, Anderson Silva beat Julio Cesar Chavez Jr. He beat him a couple of weeks ago.
A boxing match. Wow.
But to your point, though, Vitor's got some boxing background, and there's a noticeable size difference between the two. Oscar hasn't fought since the Manny Pacquiao fight 2008. Yeah. And, you know, the guy likes the white girl. Who knows how sober he's been for this. So it'll be interesting. And Vitor's game, who knows if he's on anything or not, but he looks like he's jacked as hell. It's Vitor. I think, though, so Anderson's boxing Tito. Yeah. I don't know how that's going to go for Tito. I think that's I'm actually more worried for Tito than I am for Vitor in the main event against Oscar.
Oh, man. I what ounce gloves are they using, too? That's another thing that's...
Is it 8 or 10?
I think it might be 10, but don't quote.
Because this one was like 12 or 14, wasn't it?
Which one?
The Jake Paul? Yeah, the Jake Paul fight.
I thought they were 10-ounce gloves. Yeah.
I don't know. I don't think so. I think it was. I think they were bigger.
Okay.
Because they're more pillow style. Like, I know if Tyron hit him for real with some smaller gloves, it's a game over, dude. Like, so I don't think I feel like they were a little bit bigger gloves. That matters for sure. We used to box that in BMX, like, just for the hell of it. And if it was smaller gloves, I would not do it. I was like, nah, I'm good. I don't want to be part of that. And then when it was bigger gloves, I was like, all right, let's get in there. Because it didn't hurt. It was, you were getting smoked, but it didn't hurt. It wasn't too bad. So if they have heavy, heavy gloves, like, then you're going to be all right. And it's paydays, you know? Everybody loves to see these dudes. So...
Well, is this going to be kind of the new trend, right? Like, these boxing type of matches? Because they also have, what, in a couple weeks, Lamar Odom versus Riddick Bowe?
Yeah, I mean, it could be a trend. It's definitely going to be a high burnout because the hotter the flame, the faster it burns. It's like, I don't think it's going to be really, I don't really give a care about seeing dudes that like that fight each other. You know what I mean? Like, especially dudes like me and dudes that have been in action sports or any kind of sport that's hit your head a lot, any football players or any MMA guys, like, we don't have any business being in the boxing ring hitting our head and brain more. You know what I mean? Because we've already been knocked out 50 times or however many knockouts or concussions, and you can't do that, dude. Like, take it easy. And, like, look at Oscar. Like, you know, he may or may not have had so many brain jumbles and knock, you know, head knocks that he's making some wild decisions. Like, I'm going to fight this guy or that guy now. I'm going to fight everybody. You know what I mean? And it's like, come on, man. Like, we should not let them do that. Like, we should be like, all right, let's just concern ourselves with the health and safety of our former heroes.
But the comparisons though from your sport and to MMA, like, you know, it's an individual sport. You know, you're as good as your last performance and the highs and lows and the risk taking and everything like that. I mean, talk us through the kind of that mindset that you have to make for taking an event, for taking a race, for taking a competition, rather, for your situation, taking a competition. Like, what goes into that? What are the pros and cons? What do you weigh into that? And like the risks involved, because every single time you perform, just like a fighter, you are putting your life on your line. And obviously 2010 was a crazy year for you.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, I've had over 50 knockouts, or like 50 flash knockouts or headbangers and things like that. Two comas, like one of them was only 6 hours, one of them was 2 weeks. And it's like when you hit your head that much, then you're pretty sure you got to like watch it. You know what I mean? So the only thing I contribute to my recovery is that I never drank or never did any drugs. So I had all those brain cells to kill. So I was like, sweet, man, I had a lot of leftovers. So that was great. But I think, you know, going back to your point, like the individuality of our sports and how dangerous they are and stuff like that, I think that is why athletes respect other athletes so much. And in MMA, even like when all the shit talking's done, they get back together and they're like, all right, cool. Most of the time they sweep it aside and they're like, you know what, dude, you got in here, like you're a bad dude. So, you know, we got to respect each other. And also one fight could be, that's it. That's a wrap. Thanks for playing. And more often than not, it's boxing that kills you. So then more often than MMA, you know. So I mean, there's been a few MMA guys that have passed away, but more often than not, it's boxing, right? So it's because of the head trauma, and the gloves aren't the ones that knock you out straight away. It's the constant head hit, and they know that. So it's like, dude, the respect level between each other and athletes, it's like, man, I knew what it took for you to get in there. I really respect that. So, and like for me, they say, you're like, I really respect that you went and did whatever it was. And like, cause I know what it was like getting in the shower the morning of the contest and knowing that that shower was going to feel different after the contest. It's just a matter of when, how bad, and if it was just going to be some scratches or if it was going to be broken bones or if it was even going to happen, you know, because I might be in the hospital. So, but I knew that for a fact, that shower, like in Cleveland, it's funny you say that, because in Cleveland, I remember the first time that I noticed that, I was like, damn, this shower is going to hurt this tonight. And I still had to go out in there and do whatever it was. You know what I mean? So it was gravity games. And like, so, and I did, and it was great. And I was right, because I definitely skidded up in practice. You've gotten a couple car accidents, quote unquote, like, because you're crashing your ass off. And so when you crash, it's like a car accident every time. Like, it's just, you know, whatever. And so you have all kinds of cuts and scratches and bruises and bumps and whatever, and strains and sprains, whatever. And then do the contest. And if you don't crash, then awesome. But if you do, then that sucks too. So then, because you're really trying your hardest to land whatever it is, because it's in the contest, it counts, it's for money. And then you go home and shower, and it's like, ah, the shower. So it's like every time. So it's like, damn, dude. And I really respect these guys when they're in the press conference and they know that in a day, it's going to be a different deal. Like, you're just going to think differently. Everything sucks. It's different. It's weird. And if you win, it's amazing. It's unbelievable. And if you lose, you look at the other guy and you're like, ah, I'm so jealous. Like, I wish that was me. Like, you know, like the times I won, I was like, oh my God, this is great. I was on cloud nine, you know, pockets are full. Everything is great. But then if you lose, you're like, damn, dude, his pockets are full. Mine aren't. That sucks. And it's crazy. It's such a weird dynamic.
Walk us through the moment right before a competition starts. What's going through your head?
Well, mine is, it depends on what day it is. Like,
talking the moments right before it's go time.
Yeah. Well, right before, you're breathing a lot, and then like you're, I would always like warm up as hard as I could, and just go fast, in the warm-ups and stuff like that and go real high and fast and do cool jumps and stuff like that. And then I'd feed off the crowd, and they would be all stoked when you go and do whatever. And then right before they would say it was my turn or whatever, it would always be a commercial break. And it was like, God, so because like you're one of the dudes. And so when it's a commercial break, it freezes you. So you have to like time the commercial break so that you can like go. So I'd take another practice run, just kind of feeling the jumps out and knowing the speed and how the dirt is reacting to the weather. Because sometimes the weather, like, is if it's dry, dries out the dirt, and it's real hard and hard pack, and then you're going to haul ass. And if it's not, and it's a little spongy, and that's what happened to me in Florida, the rain came, it drizzled, and I did a run in practice, and I did the exact same run the first run out, and it was going perfectly, but I landed a little bit too good on the last set, or the second to last set. In the last set, I did this same trick called the decade, went around, landed on the bike, came back, and then when I landed, I was way past the landing. So when I landed, I landed real hard. It drug me off the back, and I broke my leg like Chris Weidman and Anderson Silva. And like it was double compound fracture, tib-fib, two bones in the dirt. So when the two bones hit the dirt, it's a different level. It's a level like that you'll never explain. It's the hardest thing that I ever had to go through, including my knockout, because I was knocked out. I didn't even feel it. But that pain that day with the bones in the dirt, I'm like, dude, that's a different level. Like that is a burn I don't wish on my worst enemy. So like that when that happens to you, you think about the contest a little bit different, you know, going back to the before the contest starts, and you're like, damn, that changes you. It sucks. So before that day, everything was great, no worries, you know, I was doing talk shows on radio and stuff like that. It was cool. But then that day that happens, and you're like, oh my God. And then it's like, oh my God, I don't ever want that to happen again. So it's just a little pill in there. And so when these guys go through broken legs or broken arms or broken jaws or anything like that, I can't imagine getting back into the ring with that, or super knockouts, you know.
Yeah, well, when that does happen, like, how do you rebuild that confidence in your mind to even want to go and compete again?
I went to Europe. So, like, I went to Germany and won the world championships, and then won, like, a bunch of world contests that didn't necessarily have the people here looking at them. So, like, there was definitely the same riders and stuff, and it was same competition 9 times out of 10, but it was different crowd and different population looking at you. You know, and there was no social media back then, so it was all good. Like, nobody saw the contests, so I didn't have as much pressure. It was like, it was weird, because when I came home, it was like all the pressure, because everybody knew you and everything was going on, and it was awesome. But at the same time, it was pressure. So you're like, damn, man, I really want to make this happen. And so you would try just that much harder. But then when I went over there in Germany, it was like, it was no big deal for me. It was cool.
What was your leg injury recovery like? Because Chris Weidman, he just had to get another surgery, and I think it was a decision he had to make because he has plans to compete again, and if he didn't get the surgery again, he wouldn't be able to throw kicks, he wouldn't be able to compete. He still wants to compete. What's that journey like to get back?
I was going to try and call Chris, because I had the same thing. It's like, it's because when you have a tib-fib break, your tibia, which is the big one, that heals because they drill through your knee. And when they drill through your knee, they pound a rod through the bone, and then they put two screws in the top, bottom, two screws in the top. So then the rod is holding your tibia together, but it's connected. So bone doesn't gap. Like, you can't leave a gap between the bones. So they have to be touching, or there has to be a mesh. Something has to be touching. So the fibula is the little guy. You can live without that bone, actually. It just keeps everything in line. You can live without it, but the pain is it kills you. So it squishes like this, and it stays open because there's a little gap. And 9 times out of 10, those things don't connect. So if you don't have pressure on them, they don't connect. So you have to plate it. So that's what happened to me. Like, 4 months later, it was still not connected. And I had to go back in, and Dr. Yi hooked it up for me, and he was like, put a plate on there, 6 more screws, and I was good to go the same day. It didn't hurt at all.
Dr. Yi, no relation to Helen Yi.
Yeah, no relation.
Not that I know of.
Maybe. He's cool.
Damn, though. But that's so intense.
And yeah, so you just throw that plate in there, and then you're good to go. But it was stupid because I could have got that surgery like in February, but I was just, man, I really wanted to see if it healed, you know? And then sure enough, it was still every step. It just killed you.
So would you give Chris any advice now that he kind of has to go through that recovery? And stuff?
In case he's listening to the Schmoes podcast.
Yeah, get the surgery quick. Like if you didn't already get it, get it. Get the second surgery to plate that fibula because it's nothing, dude. It really, the healing time on that thing is a day and you're good. And so, the only thing about it is that there's a, I don't want to say it in public, but it's like a button on your leg now, because if you get kicked there, the pain sucks so bad. So it's like, I mean, it's crazy. And there's also like a lot of like leftover bone, like right here, like, wow. Like little like bone fragments.
Yeah, I could see that.
Yeah, that are like calcium deposits, I guess they'd probably be. And if you like kick me there, and I would like cry like a girl. I would just be like little baby girl. I'd be like, no, I'm done, uncle. That's it. So it's like, that's so gnarly. Like the pain is different level. So I don't know, man. It's a really hard one to recover from. But if anybody can do it, it's Weidman, and I'm so impressed with everybody else that has done it. So it's crazy.
Big middleweight fight this weekend, September 4th card, supposed to be in the UK. Got Darren Till, Derek Brunson.
I love Till. I think he's so awesome. I love both those dudes.
I interviewed him both yesterday.
Brunson, though, I did it through Zoom because he was packing, he was going through the airport, which the character does not shine through the same if you're not face-to-face in person.
The schmo character.
Yeah.
And then Till, I went to his place yesterday. Actually, it's funny because his teammate, Tom Aspinall, he's an up-and-coming heavyweight. He's the number 13th ranked guy. He's the co-main event. He's fighting Sergey Spivak. He came here. We did a Schmo and the Pro on the couch over there. I drove him back to Till's place. They're not staying at the Fighter Hotel. They're renting a place for the week. And Till is such a fucking goofball. It's so funny because actually our sponsor for the podcast, this is a great transition for it, Sheath Underwear, sheathunderwear.com. Use the promo code SCHMO to get 20% off. The most comfortable pair of underwear ever. I know a lot of fighters use this. Cowboy Cerrone, big advocate of it, among a Brandon Moreno. But they have a dual pouch right here for your balls that separates the balls from the shaft so you don't stick on a hot day. The guy who created it, Robert Patton, huge MMA fan like yourself, Iraq war veteran, Afghanistan, all that shit. Iraq, his shit would stick to his leg all the time. He created this dual pouch thing, and they're extremely comfortable. So actually, Till's coach, they lost his luggage, and you know, I was, as a nice gesture, they're our sponsor. I had extra underwear. I dropped them off back afterwards. I give Till and the team all the underwear. He drops his pants right then and there on the spot.
In front of his face.
I almost did that right now, but I had a lady here. I was like, nah.
She wasn't with me.
I almost did the same thing.
She wasn't with me. And then he's like, Schmo, let's get a photo, Schmo.
Yeah, dude. Yeah, that's sick.
And I interviewed him just wearing the underwear yesterday.
Oh, he's such a beautiful bastard. I love him, dude.
He's the man.
He's a great dude.
He's a great dude. I love him.
Great sense of humor,
me and Forrest used to have a show together, and we got fired from our own podcast. It was so funny.
What?
But we, yeah, so funny. Another story. But we
it's a podcast.
Yeah, we just forgot. Like we always like we just sucked at being on time or anything. Like we just were like, all right, like our podcast was just a reason for him and I to hang out because we like each other. But we would always forget, or I had to be out of town, so it would be through Zoom, and it was just a mess. And we just fell apart. But it was funny as hell. And he was on it, and we were like, all right, you got to swallow the mic. And that was like something that we did. So you'd have to try and swallow the whole entire mic all the way down as best you could. Me and Forrest did it pretty good. So.
He's got a wide mouth.
Yeah, dude, you're pretty good.
Oh, my God.
Wow.
Pretty good. Dude.
You know, we had four.
So we did that, like, COVID. Like,
Man, I was just about to throw someone under the bus that was on her podcast earlier. She did not do that. You were the first person to go full on mouth.
Forrest, that was for you, Forrest. I love you, brother.
Holy shit.
See that? Me and Forrest did that. But Shmo, what do you got, dude? Let's try it. Give it a go, dude. Come on, don't be shy. You got it, dude.
Only because you're
just
asking.
Dig deep. Dig deep, man. You got it. Dig deep.
Travis, am I going to do this
right
now?
You got it, brother. You got it. All the way down. All the way. Oh, keep going. Keep going, baby. Yeah!
Don't gag.
Holy fuck.
You see? Nice work, bro.
Only for you.
I knew
they're
going to
capture that. That's going to be all over the fucking internet, man.
Who cares?
Yeah, I guess. I play a fucking character for a living.
Your character is badass, bro. Who cares?
I'm shocked you haven't done that yet.
Well, it's pretty good. We got to do a Shmo in the Pro interview.
I would love that.
We're going
to
make it happen. But I think it would be great to do it like in your element.
Come to my house.
We'll do it. Your house, by the way, on MTV Cribs. Phenomenal. Love
it. Man. Thank you.
I was telling Helen, when we get a house, when this market crashes, because it's going to fucking crash, we need to build a hot tub like what you have. I love the waterfall. I love the stones. I love that rustic fucking look. It's great.
Thanks, man. Yeah. Thank you. Thank you very much. You know what's crazy is that
the gym.
The Cribs.
The gym, too, is great.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, it's cool. You guys come over and work out, man. I'd love to have you.
We'll do it.
Hell yeah, dude. You're invited.
Appreciate that.
Sweet.
Wait, you too.
Thanks.
Shout out to Travis, our producer. But the swallowing the mic, I'm curious, how'd you come up with that?
I don't know. We were just sitting here. I was like, oh, yeah, Forrest? All right. Like, we were just swallowing mics, dude.
His jaw hurts.
I mean, we got a lot of people to do it with us. I think Chael hooked it up, maybe.
Chael swallowed the mic?
I think he might have been there. I don't know. I don't remember if it was him or... We had a lot of dudes come through that were badass dudes, like just complete killers, and then they swallowed the mic. We're laughing our asses off. We're like, dude, we got it done.
As a lifelong UFC fan, MMA fan in general, I'm going to just rapid fire ask you these questions. Is Kamaru Usman the welterweight champion at the end of 2021?
Yes.
Okay. Francis Ngannou.
The baddest dude ever. That guy is scary.
He's
the scariest guy ever.
Going to beat Ciryl Gane when they eventually fight?
Yeah.
Okay.
I think so, dude. I think he's nasty, bro. I'm so scared of him. Like, I don't even want to meet him.
He lives here now.
I'm scared of him. No, I'm just kidding. He's just such a badass dude. Like, I love watching him. I love seeing him. I like everything about the guy. He's just awesome. And he's so, like, sweet. When he talks,
and very soft
spoken.
You're
like, oh my God, I love that.
He's a gentle giant.
Yes,
but he looks tiny next to Shaq. You ever see
really?
Those two together?
No, I
never
saw
them. Performance Institute. I mean, Francis picked him up. I mean, but Shaq is the biggest fucking human I've ever seen in my entire life. Ever been next to.
I've never been next to Shaq in my life.
The first time I ever interviewed Dana White when I had my viral schmoment in Atlanta, UFC 236, I interviewed Dana in a suite the next day. The first interview, because he's like, who the fuck is this guy? I want to meet him. Right before I do the interview, Shaq comes walking into the suite, and, you know, stop the interview, because right before it happened, say hi to him, shake his hand. So I met Shaq. My entire hand was swallowed. I've never seen a bigger human in my life. And he wears, like, size, like, 22 shoe as well.
Yeah, he's a sweetheart, too, right?
He's a sweetheart,
cool dude, yeah. I met a few basketball players like that, and I was like, oh, my God. And it was pretty hectic, but that guy, he's a badass dude.
He is. He isn't. Imagine if Shaq was a fighter. They don't even make a division with his weight.
Nah.
265's the limit.
He'll just come in and flip the cage.
That's true.
You step over the cage. Yeah. He's so fucking big.
WWE style.
Light heavyweight, Jan Blachowicz fighting Glover Teixeira. In Abu Dhabi, UFC 267.
Yep. I always... You know, not always, but I really don't bet against age. So I think the younger guys are a little more hungry, a little less to lose. And that's something that I learned from a basketball player, actually.
Yeah.
He was like Charles. Sir Charles, I was sitting next to him during a fight. And it was during that fight where Chael said that Anderson Silva absolutely sucked. Remember that?
Yeah, I do remember that.
I'm laughing my ass off behind Charles Barkley, if you ever watch that clip. And then you'll see me laughing my ass off right behind Charles when he said that. I was like, oh, my God.
We'll find that clip.
That was so funny. I was like, dude, that's the craziest thing I've ever heard when he said that, because it's so not true. Anderson Silva doesn't suck. He's the best ever. Like, he's the baddest dude in the world ever in the history of the sport in my mind. And
his voice is super, super, like, high. You would never expect it. Dude. So gentle.
And what's so even crazier about this story is that I was in an elevator with Anderson 5 minutes after that was said. And I was like, just in the airport, in the elevator at the hotel with him. And he's like, which floor? And I'm like, this one. He's like, okay. And then he was real cool. And I was like, he didn't really mean that, did he? You know, he's just like, no, it's all good. That's okay. It's okay.
You know, Jan's not that young, though. Just to say, he's younger than Glover. Glover's like 40, 41. Yeah,
Glover's up there, dude.
Jan's 37. A lot of miles.
That's true. That 37, anything after 35, it's all pretty much the same. Okay. So I think it's all, you know, you're all dad strength at that age, you know? So it's a coin toss on that one. Yeah. Maybe you go with Glover probably because for the experience.
Well, what about Israel and Robert Whittaker? They're probably set to have a rematch soon. Who do you think wins that?
I think Izzy gets him because he's just such a force. I mean, I love Robert Whittaker. I think he's badass. And you know what's crazy is that my executive producer hired a director on my last All-Stars show right now. His name is Rob Whittaker.
Fucking
And I go, dude, have you ever heard of the fighter Robert Whittaker? He goes, I get it all the time. I'm like, there you go. Man, you're in a force. Dude, you're sick in the cage. He's like, shut up. Yes, I always called him Whittaker. But anyway, Whittaker is I really like that guy. And I love everybody from over there. So it's, you know, all the Aussies and New Zealanders to me are just badass dudes. And they're just made of bricks and just they're all forces. And but Izzy, he's from there too, right? So he's sick too.
He's New Zealand and Whittaker is Australia.
So you're like, dude, you know, New Zealanders, I mean, those dudes are just badass dudes. All Blacks, man. You can't mess with those dudes.
Yeah. I like Dan Hooker a lot too. Yeah. He's a New Zealand guy.
Funny. Yeah.
He's so funny. Shit. So lightweight division, Oliveira. I'm assuming Poirier is going to be fighting him. He's not going to wait for McGregor's injury. A year? Like, no. Poirier is going to fight for the title. I assume it's going to be in December. You think Poirier is the champion?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. I think that Dustin he's just a badass dude. Like he's on a different level right now. He's riding that wave. That energy is so nice. And when it's your main priority and it's your main thing, like it is right now for him, it's fun. It's just so fun.
He was at the fight.
Can't miss. You can't miss. You know what I mean? Like he's going through a stage of his life right now where like he could go bowling and be good at it right now. And like he could like throw a wrapped up piece of paper and there's a trash can that's like 3 inches tall and just left hand it right in. And those are the kind of things like on the X game years when I did really, really well, it would be doing things like that all the time. I would test myself. I'm like, I want to win the X games if I do this. I want to win the X games if I run this crazy mile, you know, in 6 flat or, you know, all this stuff in 120 degrees. Or, you know, I would do like little challenges.
The swallow the mic challenge?
I would do the swallow the mic challenge if I would have known about it, and I would have been smarter. I would have just hooked that up.
Shit. There's so many, too. Like, Nunes, is anyone beating her this year to next year? I mean, does she even have an opponent?
Juliana Pena they are in doing December, that? Yeah.
No.
No.
She's bad.
Oh, Rose, they're doing the rematch with Wei Li in New York, November 6th.
Dude. That's another one that's throwing little pieces of paper in the trash can from way out and making them. She's so badass.
Yeah.
And just such a class act, you know? Like, I love her. And I love her and the coach dynamic, and I think it's real, real cool.
Whitman.
It's so... That kid, I call him a kid because I'm old, but he turns fighters into completely different...
It's amazing.
Specimens.
He's I mean, a great coach.
I really feel like that. Like, I don't even know if it's just now he walks in the gym and you're like, okay, I must mean something. You know what I mean? Like to where the fighter's like convinced. He maybe just him being in their corner is like a whole different level of badassness. You know what I mean? So I remember like my first corporate sponsor, I was like, they matter to me this much. Like they really care about me this much that they are sponsoring me. Man, I must be good. And it brought my level up. You know what I mean? I rode better because of it.
Yeah. I'll do a couple more quick ones. We'll wrap it. We'll rapid fire these. Peter Yan, Aljamain Sterling.
You know, hang on, say.
It was the mic.
You got water?
Yeah.
Water.
We
got
I'll water. Run and sorry, get sorry, water.
Sorry. He's got the mic.
I'm so sorry.
Dude, this is why we don't swallow microphones here.
Fuck, I got a little COVID from the mic, dude. What happened? No, just kidding. I like Aljo.
Yeah?
Yeah, dude, because I think that he's got a little chip, you know? And that's something that you need.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, it definitely helps in his favor that they are running this back and he's seen what he's seen. The one I'm most intrigued about, it's actually happened at the end of this month, The Ultimate Fighter. We just saw that.
Ortega,
Volkanovski. I really like that because I think Ortega's striking improvements, man, that really makes that an interesting fight.
Yeah, I called Ortega already on another show as well, and I think Ortega is the one. He's I just like him. I mean, I like both those guys. I think they're both pretty badass dudes, and I think they're both classy. But I think that Brian, he's a little bit. I mean, I think he might be a lot younger, right?
He's I think my age.
And Volk is, 30. I think there's like a 4-year age gap between the two, somewhere okay. around there.
All right, well, there's a lot of damage in the 4 years. No, just kidding. But I just feel like, you know, it's there's a lot more to win for Brian. Like if Brian wins this, it's a rocket ship to stardom. This kid is going to be.
He's happily in love too. He's happily in love too. Tracy Cortez.
Yeah,
I think she's a flyweight. So
that's great, man. I love it. I love love. That's great.
Love is great.
We love love.
We love too. And then the flyweight Brandon Moreno. I don't think they've announced an opponent for him in that division. But talk about a guy whose fucking stock just went from here to there.
I love that kid. Yeah, I think he's badass.
We had him on this pod before.
Did you really?
Before
yeah.
he won.
Yeah, but could he swallow the mic, dude? I don't know.
I don't know.
Hey, that should be a new challenge. But
yeah, you guys can have that. That's
a good challenge.
Free. No, TJ Lavin free. Swallow
yeah,
the
yeah,
mic
yeah.
challenge.
Yeah, perfect, perfect. The TJ Lavin Forrest Griffin swallow the mic challenge.
Shout out to Forrest Griffin.
Yeah, our guy.
Yeah, absolutely. TJ, man, appreciate you coming on the show. Any final thoughts? Anything you want to plug in here?
Yeah, just our show is doing well. It's on Wednesday nights, and I believe at 8 o'clock. And just look at your local listings, MTV. And then the other show is on Paramount Plus. It's called All Stars, and that starts November 4th. So those are the two, challenge shows that I do, and those are cool. And if you ever get entailed to swallow a mic, give it a shot, and come on the Schmo, and you're gonna kill it.
You would think, man, the host of the challenge is going to create a challenge right here on the Schmozone podcast.
True.
He challenged me to swallow the mic. I swallowed the mic.
And you did it, bro. You committed and you handled it like a man. Loved it.
Swallow the mic. Come on the Schmo.
Swallow the mic. Come on the Schmo.
Oh, that's so weird.
Sorry.
I don't know. That's disgusting.
You said it. I'm
that's
repeating.
Disgusting.
There it is. Episode 75 of the Schmozone podcast. We are out.